The preacher must instruct. Why begin with instruction? For this reason, unless I begin, as in any case I believe it is right to begin with instruction, I fear that many will get the impression from what follows that I advocate a kind of preaching which is all emotional, fluffy, entirely lacking in substance, something bright and breezy, worthy, if that's the word, of a stand-up comic, a cheeky chappy. Nothing could be further from the truth. I am not calling for preaching which is devoid of solid fact, reason and argument. Far from it. I am not asking for preaching which is emotional and nothing more, jokey and mere sentiment and anecdote. The preacher does not stand before his hearers to amuse them. He has much more serious business on hand than that. I am of the same mind as Andrew Fuller. The gospel is a message in which we ought to be firm and fearless of consequences. Speak boldly. You must not calculate consequences as they respect this life. If you would preach the gospel as you ought to preach it, the approbation of God must be your main object. What if you were to lose your friends and diminish your income? Indeed, what if you lose your liberty or even your life? What would all this be compared with the loss of the favor and friendship of God? Woe unto us if we shun to declare any part of the counsel of God. He that is afraid or ashamed to preach the whole of the gospel, in all its implications and bearings, let him stand aside. He's utterly unworthy of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, if you would speak the whole truth, you may be reproached as unsound and heterodox. But you must not yield to popular clamour. Stand firm against all opposition. The gospel is a message full of importance, and therefore you must be in earnest. If your message respected the health of your hearers, or their temporal interest, or their reputation, it would be thought important. But what are these compared with the salvation of their souls? Salvation by Jesus Christ is God's last and only remedy, his ultimatum with a lost world. There remains no other sacrifice for sins. Therefore, do not trifle on such subjects as these, lest you lose your own soul. What can be thought of you if you employ your time in making pretty speeches and turning elegant sentences and phrases instead of endeavoring to save yourself and them that hear you? What if, instead of beseeching sinners to be reconciled to God, you should crack jokes before them to excite a laugh? So said Andrew Fuller. And to discharge his responsibilities to men as he will have to answer to God, a preacher must begin by instruction. The fact is, instruction stands at the head of the practical points I wish to make. And by instruction I mean solid biblical teaching, 16 ounces to the pound, doctrinal preaching of the sort known as Calvinistic, and five-pointed at that. I'd also include the concepts of authority and grip. A preacher should be a teacher. He should therefore know more about the material in hand than his hearers, and it should show, not in any worldly bragging way, but in the authority he commands. However the reference to youth may be interpreted, the apostle wanted no one and nothing to diminish Timothy's authority. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth. Indeed, this note of authority is clear throughout the three so-called pastoral letters. In short, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Instruction, authoritative teaching. Without it, there is no preaching. The apostle speaks of didaskalia, teaching, instruction. Not only does he speak of it, he puts it at the head of preaching. William Hendrickson, teaching or instruction is ever basic to everything else. C.H. Spurgeon, you must do a great deal by way of instruction. Sinners are not saved in darkness. but from it. Men must be taught concerning themselves, their sin and their fall, their Saviour, redemption, regeneration, and so on. While giving instruction, it is wise to appeal to the understanding. True religion is as logical as if it were not emotional. Of carnal reasoning, we would have none. But a fair, honest, pondering, considering, judging, and arguing, the more the better. Ashbel Green raised the special danger for preachers in a time of revival. Would that we had such problems. Namely, faced with a congregation of highly awakened hearers, many a preacher might be tempted to go straight to application and exhortation, leaving out the instruction. Green, tackling this danger, warned, "In a time of revival, so far am I thinking that the preaching employed should be merely hortatory, that is, exhorting, applicatory in nature, or principally addressed to the feelings, that I am persuaded that it ought to be eminently doctrinal. Lively and tender and close and full of application, it certainly should be. But the great and fundamental doctrines of the gospel should be brought out clearly, be lucidly explained, and be much insisted on. Of what may be denominated by way of eminence gospel preaching, there ought to be no lack. That is, the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ to save even the chief of sinners, and his readiness to receive them when they come, to cleanse them in his atoning blood, to clothe them with his perfect righteousness, to justify them freely, to sanctify them by his Spirit, to adopt them into his family, and to crown them with eternal glory, should be set forth in the most clear and persuasive manner. The true nature of regeneration, of evangelical, that is, saving faith, genuine repentance, and new obedience, should be carefully explained and illustrated. The danger of grieving away the Spirit of grace by those with whom he is striving, that is, the unbelievers, and the danger of all delay in accepting the gospel offer, should often be brought into view. So, there it is. That's my opening salvo. Instruction must come first. No good will be done without it. Not that instruction is the be-all and end-all of preaching, of course. Nevertheless, it marches at the head of the column. Men will not be spiritually blessed by being left in ignorance, nor will they be helped by being exhorted to do things on the basis of ignorance. We must be instructive preachers. But that does not mean we must lecture. The giving of a lecture instead of plain downright preaching is, I think, one of the main mistakes we are making today. It is deadening.